Blog Talk Radio.
We're sitting here without a candidate. A lot of progressives are wondering what the hell happened to Bernie Sanders. And tell you what, I don't know. I really don't know what happened to him. I know what's happening to him, but I don't know what happened to him. What happened to him is that somewhere along the line, he just disappeared. I've been in contact with a bunch of people, and they're as mystified as you and I are. He said at one point last week, or the media had reported one point last week, that he was going to he was going to support Hillary Clinton, and how he could do that and still maintain that he was running some kind of political revolution is beyond me. Hillary Clinton is like the exact opposite of everything that everybody who supported Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders stood for. So, you can't have a political revolution and turn your back on him and support the enemy. And to me, that's what Hillary Clinton is. She's the enemy. So I'm just wondering what the hell is going on. And this is the first time I've had a show in a long time. And so just bear with me because this is going to be a rough ride. Everything isn't set up. I had a soundboard and a mixer and everything else, and it's just not set up. And what we've got now is, it's just not, this isn't the way I wanted to start my show. But I got to start it some way. I got to work bugs out. So if you're with us, if you're with me, just bear with me. And we'll get through this together. If you want to call in, call in at 713-955-0492. At 713-955-0492. If you got any take on this, or if you're connected to the Sanders campaign, or if you're just a supporter of the Sanders campaign, you want to talk about it, just go ahead and call in. But meanwhile, the thing with Bernie Sanders is I really supported him a lot. You know, I gave money. I gave him money every month. I supported him. I went to meetings. You know, I wrote about him. In case you're tuning in for the first time, I've been on. Let me explain something. I haven't been on in a long time. I had four strokes this year. September of last year it started, and I just had the last one in January. So I had three strokes, two big ones, a little one, then I had another big one in January, right?
Yeah.
And so I was just getting everything back, and then all of a sudden I couldn't see the keyboard again. I mean, everything was all jumbled up. So it's only been the last week or so that I started writing again. I wrote two articles on op-ed, and maybe you've seen some of them, I don't know. Now I'm trying to start the radio show again. It's been since January that it's taken for me to get back on my feet again. But I feel pretty good, and I'm hoping that I stay well, you know, just because I got to see how this all plays out. Right now, unless Bernie, and the reason I supported Bernie Sanders is because he was running on a Democratic ticket. And I thought if he could pull off these primaries that he would have a good shot at the presidency. And it wasn't because I'm exactly sympathetic to everything that Bernie Sanders stands for. Like, I was at a campaign meeting one time, and this guy was saying, let's have some reasons why... what's wrong with this country? And I raised my hand right in front of the guy. I was 2 inches away from his face. And I'm raising my hand in his face. And this is a guy who wrote a book on Bernie Sanders, right? And he says, he knew what I was going to say because he had heard me talking about it with a couple of people. And he just wouldn't call on me. And what I wanted to mention was our military budget is 54% of our whole discretionary budget. You know, if Bernie Sanders wants to pay for free education, if he wants to pay for health care, all he's got to do is cut that budget by 20%. And we could have infrastructure, and then he could go ahead and tax the rich and have more infrastructure and start spreading the wealth around. And it would have sounded a lot more plausible than some of the crap he came up with. And, you know, so... So in a way, I'm not glad he fell on his face because I thought he had a good shot at it. But I knew what they were going to do. They stole it from him, and you can see by the amount of lawsuits and class action suits and everything else that's going on, that in Arizona, California, New York, they closed down the primaries, they closed polling places, they didn't have enough polling workers, they purged people from the rolls. They had these antiquated things, to make sure that you had to be a Democrat for 6 months before you could vote in New York anyway, before you could vote. It was just a lot of crap. And Hillary Clinton the DNC was supporting Hillary Clinton all the way, and the media wasn't covering him and everything else, and he still managed to get millions of votes. So, now I'm throwing my support on the Jill Stein. I mean, she's, I listened to her in an interview with, who was that interview she had with?
Lee
Camp. And I'm redacted tonight. And, I got a lump in my throat when I listen to her talk because, she's a true progressive. Bernie Sanders couldn't come out against the military. I guess he couldn't come out against the military because he was afraid that would just torpedo his campaign. And I always thought he would, come out against the military industrial complex later on, but now I'm with the real progressive, Jill Stein. It would be nice if Bernie decides to just tell the Democratic Party to go, to go fuck themselves, basically. And that's what he really needs to do, because these Democrats, they're shameless. They are absolutely shameless. I have seen it this bad. But I was around in 68, they killed Bobby Kennedy. I mean, you can tell them, Sirhan, and all this crap. You don't even remember what happened, Sirhan. They said he never had a violent day in his life until he blew Bobby Kennedy away, shot him in the head. And he has no recollection of it. So you talk about black ops. Anyway, let's get off of that. I don't want people labeling me anything. Like I said, the call-in number is 713-955-0492. And if you got anything to say, you just go ahead and run it by me, But what I think should happen is that I think everybody should just throw their weight against Jill Stein. That's just my personal opinion. I mean, they're allowed to do anything they damn well want to. But, I mean, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, we have never had two worse candidates ever besides, even Bush and even Gore was better, than Bush. And even Kerry was better than who the hell was Kerry running against?
He was running against Bush.
He was running against Bush, and then McCain running against Obama. I mean, and then Obama, I voted for Obama, and he turned out to be a shill, too. So, he turned out to be a real bad shill. Obama hasn't done a goddamn thing, really, since he's been in the presidency. They scared him to death and told him the way he's going to do it, or he was a liar all along. Either way, he's got no balls. Either way, the guy's a mousetrap, and I'm telling you what, I don't know what they said to Bernie Sanders. All I know is nobody's heard from him in about a week, he says, he wants the Democrats to change their platform. They ain't going to change it for Bernie Sanders if Hillary Clinton has a nomination. There is no way that these rich oligarchs who control the media, who control everything, who control the banks and everything else, are going to change it for Bernie Sanders. It just isn't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen.
So if you're a progressive and you want to vote for somebody, you know, you can vote for Jill Stein. I mean, Gary Johnson and the Libertarian Party is still better than Trump or Clinton. I wouldn't look down on you if you voted for Gary Johnson. He's running at 10% right now. Jill Stein is running at 7%. That's 17%. If everybody could get around somebody, that would be 17%, you know. And like Jill Stein said the other day, she said, if all the young people who owe student loans actually came out and voted for me, I would have the Federal Reserve pass an economic stimulus and negate these student loans. That's 43 million votes. And if young people are listening to this, or you're listening to this and your friends, tell your friends, Jill Stein will get rid of your student loans. Isn't that enough to get your ass off the couch, put down your iPhone, your video games, and walk over to the polling booth and push a button? You know, I mean, it would be to me, if I owned $30,000, $40,000 in student loans, I would vote for Jill Stein. I mean, come on, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. And if people want to see their roads fixed up and the roads resurfaced and mass rail and public transportation and transition to a green energy environment, you know, that's a no-brainer too. Who's going to do that? Jill Stein's going to do that. And the way she's going to do it is to quit spending all this money on the military. You know, and just to let you know, if you've never heard about me, or you've never heard my radio show, or you've never read my articles and know nothing about me, I spent 20 years in the United States Army. I retired from the Army. And let me tell you something. I'm very interested in making sure the United States has a strong defense. But we don't need to spend more than every other nation on earth combined in military. You know how much money we spend on the military? We spend more money last year than we spent adjusting for inflation now, than we did in 1945. You know, that was the height of the, they didn't know they were going to drop the atomic bomb in 1945. The budget was passed in 1944. They still thought that they were going to have to finish off Hitler and the Japanese and maybe the Russians in the near future. And we spent more money than we spent then last year. Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine that? What do we need to spend all this money on the military for? What, to keep putting our nose where it doesn't belong and then getting it bloodied and then pulling it away and say, gee, we shouldn't have done that. You know, or, you know, this just doesn't seem to be working out. You know, nothing they do works out. You know, nothing they do works out. You know what works out for them? I'll tell you what works out for them. What works out for them is spending $800 billion a year on weapons that the military doesn't want and says they don't need, so their defense contractor buddies can make lots of money, and everybody at Lockheed and Grumman and Raytheon and General Electric and all these other places just roll around in dough that we pay for. You know, this is it's legalized robbery and. Yeah, you know, even Putin, I heard him in an interview the other day saying, the United States is the world's superpower. You know, we do not want to get into a war with the United States. He even said that. You know, and he also said in an earlier interview, to go to war with the United States, you would have to be insane. But they keep pushing this Red Scare. It's not a Red Scare now. It's a Russian scare, you know. And they keep saying, you know, oh,
Putin is so bad, and he's gonna run the world, and he's a scary guy, and the Russians are scary, and they're creeping up on Poland. No, it's the exact way around. We're creeping up on Russia. We have troops on the Russian border. We have tanks on the Russian border in Estonia. The mainstream media hypes crap. I don't know if anybody listening to this show listens to the mainstream media anymore. I mean, there's not a lot of people that listen to NBC and ABC and CNN and MSNBC and all the rest of these water carriers. Because basically, they live on two things, fear and threat. And if it's not the fear of ISIS, it's the fear of, Zika or Ebola or some other disease that's going to get us, or it's the fundamental Islamics, or it's the, they've always got some, it's Saddam Hussein, it's always somebody that's going to get us. And as long as, and then, if they don't have anything like that to report on, they'll make the conservatives hate the liberals and the liberals hate the conservatives, and they'll get us all fighting with each other so they can steal our money. And they've been stealing our money for ages now. And anybody that doesn't believe they're not stealing your money is frankly living in some kind of bubble. You know, I mean, wages have gone down so much that, I'm sure a lot of you have seen the charts. I'm not talking down to you. I don't want to sound like Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks. You know, I like him. I like what he says, but I don't like the way he talks down to people. I mean, you know, just look at some of these charts. Look at some of how wages have gone down. Meanwhile, this country has an economy like $74 trillion a year. This is the richest nation on the face of the earth in the history of the world. They said if you broke up the budget and gave it to everybody, everybody would have $200,000 in their pocket a year just from what the federal government takes in on taxes. But no, it doesn't go to us. It goes to the top 0.1%. And I'm sure you've heard Bernie Sanders say that. And that's where it actually goes. I was writing about this before I ever knew what Bernie Sanders was about. I was writing about this in 2004. You know, and I know it to be true because it's only gotten worse every single year. According to Oxfam, top 10% of the wealthiest people in the United States will own more than 90% of the rest of the world. Not the United States, of the rest of the world. Okay? 0.1% owns more wealth than the 90% at the bottom. I know you've heard this over and over, but try to wrap your head around this. Now, if anybody wants to call in, it's 713-955-0492. And that's funny, that number. Anyway, there's a reason for it. But anyway, this is the way it's going on. And it's just totally, totally unacceptable. And people keep putting up with it. They keep putting up with it. They keep listening to MSNBC and people like Chris Matthews, who's detestable. He doesn't tell you that his wife is on the Hillary Clinton campaign and that she's also running for Congress. You know, he doesn't mention that on the Democratic ticket. You know, these people just tell you things and act like they're honest information brokers. And they're not. They're not. You know, Andrea Mitchell doesn't tell you that her husband was head of the Federal Reserve Bank. You know, all these people are connected. They're all in a club. And like George Carlin said, you ain't in it. You ain't in this club. They're in this club. We're not in this club. You know, we make out on our $25,000 a year or $30,000 a year, sometimes $15,000, $40,000, $50,000. You think you're doing good if you're making above $50,000 a year. But these other people, these people make that in a week. You know, these people make that, and some of them, Hillary Clinton makes $165,000 for one 40-minute speech. And like Bernie Sanders said, it must have been a damn good speech. Yeah. And then they give to her campaign. And then think about it. Think about it. Really think about it. Why do they give money to get Hillary Clinton elected? You know, and what's this whole thing with the Clinton Foundation? You know, they've exposed it over and over and over again on social media, not on the mainstream media, on social media, and they and places like Counterpunch and Op-Ed News and you know, different online publications that have actually shown where all this money from the Clinton Foundation goes. It all goes, you know, the money that these supporters give to the Clinton Foundation, they get back in favors. You know, they get back in favors from the federal government, especially when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. And that's been proven. And Julian Assange is coming out with a whole bunch of emails in any day now showing why Hillary Clinton should be indicted. And, you know, he says, I don't expect her to get indicted because the American government is criminal. And I said something else, too. And you know, if you're not familiar with it, let me explain a concept to you. Okay? And this is what I wrote in an article a couple of years ago. I wrote, discontent is cumulative. Okay, what I mean by that is that, you know, you can be angry at somebody, or you can be dissatisfied, or you can be furious with someone, or you can be jealous of somebody. But those emotions come and go. They're fleeting. You know, they're here 1 minute, and, you know, somebody apologizes to you, whatever, you know, then they go away. But discontent is different. Okay, discontent happens when you're constantly getting hit on the head. You know, you're constantly getting things taken away from you. Everything you have just stops working. You know, like my soundboard today, like my computer system. and after a while, you know, discontent starts happening when you feel like you're in a no-win situation. It's kind of like a panic. And if something doesn't come along and alleviate that, it grows. And that's what I mean by cumulative. And it's like, you know, the old saying that, you know, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, you know. Think about that for a second. I know everybody's heard it a million times. They don't even think about what it means. But that one more straw that just is too much for the camel, and all of a sudden its back breaks. You know, it's discontent is cumulative. It's just like that last piece that just makes you go berserk. You know, and there's been people going berserk in this country. Okay? And this is what is happening with the whole Trump thing and the whole Sanders thing. Our people are starting to go berserk. They want a change. All right? They want a change. And some people have gone to Trump, okay, because he says some things that people feel that they can't say, and he's getting away with it. So they admire him for it. And then there's some people that offer you change and then take it away from you just when you're ready to pick it up, like Barack Obama. You know, that hope and changey thing that he was doing, you know, in 2008, and everybody thought we were going to have a Harvard-educated law professor as president of the United States, and we were going to finally get some justice, and it never happened. It never happened. And then everybody wonders why, gee, you know, I don't understand why everybody's so damn pissed off all the time. But this is why, you know, I say discontent is cumulative, and it's really very dangerous. And I, for one, I'm 65 years old, all right? I know my views don't sound like I'm 65 years old, but there's a lot of 65-year-olds that think like I do. And, you know, I happen to live in South Carolina, but I was born in New York, and I spent 20 years in the military. I've been around. And what I've seen is mostly is that most people are the same. Most people are the same. Everybody wants to provide for their family. They want a roof over their head. They want a job where they can make some money. They want to feel useful. They want food in their stomach. They want medical care for them and their kids. And, you know, whether you're a man or a woman or whatever you are, that's what everybody wants. It's called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, and it's a pyramid. You know, the first one you need is food and shelter. You know, and then other things go up, and, you know, and it goes into a pyramid. But the basic bottom of that pyramid is food and shelter. And, you know, this is what motivates everybody in the world. There's no difference between anybody, any culture in our culture, except, you know, some of the wacky cultures that are walking around, like in Saudi Arabia and parts of Iraq and Syria, you know, where these people are just whacked out, you know, and that stems from 1,000 years of subjugation by colonial powers, you know, and they're really pissed off. I mean, it's been ingrained in them since they've been little kids. You know, the Arab world used to be the dominant civilization on Earth, you know. During the Middle Ages, when all these feudal states were running around with swords, banging each other over the head with maces and everything, and everybody was starving and dying from the Black Death, the Arabs were writing books and doing algebra and all sorts of things, you know. I mean, that was the dominant civilization in the world for 1,000 years. And, you know, so they're pissed off because they're not anymore. And this is why some of the tenets of their religion have gotten everybody crazy, you know. And the religion was built for that, you know, just like every religion. You know, don't get me into religion, because I'm not a religious guy. I don't subscribe to any religion. I think they all suck. And, you know, I believe in doing unto others and all that other kind of stuff, but that's as far as it goes for me. You know, but, you know, I believe there's good parts of all religions, Buddhists, Christians, you know, whatever, but most religion is about power. It's about trying to get people to do what you want them to do, you know. That's the tenet of religion. And that seems to be the tenet of government, too, is to get you to do what they want you to do. You know, they don't, you know, most people in government, especially today, all they want is your goddamn money. You know, that's what they want. That's what they want. They want your money. And then after they get your money, you can go fuck yourself. Yeah, that's just the way they are. And so just take that. You can take that to the bank. You know, and if Hillary Clinton gets in there, she's going to start wars like you never saw before in your life, because a woman's a sociopath. She, the shit she said to people, you know, the when she told Lavrov, the Russian foreign secretary, that Russia was on the wrong side of history. Who the hell is she to tell the Russian foreign secretary that they're on the wrong side of history? Yeah, who the hell is she? This is a diplomat? Yeah, she isn't a diplomat. She is threatener in chief. That's what she was when she was Secretary of State. Threatener in chief. If you think Trump has said some bad things, you should hear some of the shit that Clinton has said. Especially that we came, we saw he died, ha ha ha, cackle, cackle, shit. That she said after Gaddafi had a machete rammed up his ass. Did you know that Libya had the highest standard of living in all of Africa? That somebody gets married, they got $50,000 from the Libyan government, and that if someone did good on the exams coming out of high school, that they were allowed to study anywhere in the world and the Libyan government would pay for it. Did you know that? No, people don't know that, okay? That the Libyans had the highest standard of the world of any country in Africa, all right? And the Arab Spring, I mean, he wasn't a great guy. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but the thing was, he wasn't the worst person in the world either, all right? He just didn't kowtow to the West. He finally kowtowed to the West about 3 years before we bombed the shit out of the country. He gave up all his nuclear weapons, all his chemical weapons, and was even helping the United States against Al-Qaeda. But, you know, that wasn't good enough for Clinton. That was going to be her war. That was going to show the world how tough she really was, so she could pave her way into the White House. So they bombed the shit out of the country. You know, they carpet bombed the whole damn country. And now it's being run by a bunch of Shiite militias, from the al-Nusra and ISIS and all these other sects running around shooting at each other. You know, it's a lawless state. They have a little central government in inside the cities, and that's about it. You go out in the desert, you're taking life in your hands. Yeah, that we can thank Hillary Clinton for that. I wrote an article one time, the worst person in the world, and that was back in 2007. I wrote that article, and that was before she bombed the crap out of Libya. And that's why I say she was the worst person in the world. And she is still the worst person in the world. I mean, she is the worst. Somebody's really got to do something, you know, somebody. I mean, and the only way it's going to happen is if everybody gets involved. Everybody. Like tomorrow, my wife and I are going to be making phone calls for Jill Stein to get her on the ballot in Pennsylvania. And she's on the ballot in 28 states. And they're trying to get to 50 states. They're really trying to get to 47. Some of these places like North Carolina, you need 80,000 votes just to get on the ballot. I mean, they make it so the two-party system has got you locked out. Yeah. But right now she got 28 states, and they estimate she'll be on the ballot in 47 states. And if enough young people, like I said, who have student loans come out and vote for her, you know, she said she'll use the Federal Reserve for quantitative easing and erase people's student loan debts. I mean, if you hear this, you know, if you're just listening to this, the podcast or whatever, and you hear it and you got student loans and you know other people who got student loans, tell them about it. You know, I mean, that's a good motivator. I know I would, if I owed these lenders $30,000-$40,000, I'd sure get off my ass and go vote. You know, simple as that. I mean, you don't have to be like real smart to figure out that it'd be in your best interest. And she said that on the air, but the mainstream media doesn't cover it. That's because the mainstream media doesn't cover shit, except what celebrity just got screwed the other day, which one just died, which one just got AIDS, what virus is coming around the corner to get you, how many terrorists are in your bed, and why Donald Trump has snot coming out of his nose, and why Hillary Clinton is the greatest person in the world. And that's what you're going to hear. That's what you're going to hear from the mainstream media. You know, and isn't this kitten cute and crap, you know? I mean, come on. Give me a break. You know, and then, or else you can listen to Young Turks and listen to Cenk Uygur tell you the most basic fact and then expand upon it for like a half an hour. And make himself sound like the purveyor of all knowledge in the world. And if you want to listen to some people, listen to Ring of Fire and Humanist Report and Redacted Tonight and what are some of the other ones to listen to? Abby Martin, Empire Reports. There's a few good places you can go to.
Gerald Celente.
He's always right. You know. That guy's a corker too. He's not a young person either. And I like the way they say, all Bernie Sanders supporters are all young people. You know, there's nothing wrong with young people, believe me. You know, I used to be young. But there's a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters that are old too, like me. You know, and I know a lot of old people like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is old. You know, but now if Bernie doesn't get off his ass and either join Joe Stein or start his own party or do whatever he's got to do, if he turns around and supports the Democrats, then he was just a shill too. You know, if anybody's on the Sanders campaign listening to this, why don't you give us a call and tell us what the hell he's up to? You know, what's he going to do? You know, the ball's in his court. I mean, nobody would fault him after they robbed those elections away from him. You know, anyway, the call-in number is 713-955-0492. That's 713-955-0492. The lines are clear. You can call in. You can be the first caller to the show since I've been back for my stroke. I've been on the air for a year. So, by the way, in future shows, I got some guests lined up. One of them is Finian Cunningham, who's he's a writer for Sputnik, RT, Global Research. He writes for a bunch of different venues. So he's coming on, I don't know, sometime near future. I'll advertise it and I'll put it on Blog Talk Radio. And you can listen to Finian Cunningham. I'm going to try to get Paul Craig Roberts back on the show. We've had him on the show 3 or 4 times. And it's always good when we have Paul Craig Roberts and Finian Cunningham on at the same time. And that's always interesting. It's always interesting to hear what they have to say. I'm trying to get Edward Snowden on. I would like to get Julian Assange on. And if there's anyone from Anonymous that can prove they're from Anonymous, I'll have them on too, you know. But I don't think they'll come on. Yeah, I don't think they really want to advertise who they are. But, you know, anybody that has something to say, you know, email me. My email address is timgatto1, T-I-M-G-A-T-T-O-1 at hotmail.com. And you want to come on the show, you know, zip me an email and tell me, you know, who you are and what you want to come on the show for and what you got to say and what you can contribute. And maybe I'll ask you. Maybe I'll shoot you back an email and tell you to come on the show. You know, I mean, I'm a lot easier to get on than CNN. I'm a lot easier to get on than MSNBC. And, you know, you have to understand something, though. I don't want somebody to come on and just argue with me, okay? If you want to argue with me, then don't come on. You know, if you want to be constructive and have a chat, even if you disagree, that's fine. But don't argue with me, okay? And even if you call in, don't call in to argue with me, because I'll just hang up on you. You know, if you got something to say, you want to get it off your chest, I'll give you a couple minutes to say it. You know, and then, you know, if it's just totally off the wall and totally not in line with the things that I say, I'm gonna hang up on you. If it's constructive and you've got valid points, you know, maybe I'll go into a dialogue with you. But if it's not, I'm gonna hang up on you. You know, but I ain't got time. I'm too old for this crap. I don't want to change your mind. You know, there's enough people out there to think like I do, that if they all got together and voted for Jill Stein, or if Bernie teams up with Jill Stein, or whatever happens, you know, we can get somebody in government and in the White House and in Congress and the Senate and everything else to where we won't have to have a damn violent, bloody revolution, because that's what's coming around the corner. You know, unless they wake up and take care of the American people, that's what they're going to get. You know, and it's not a threat. I just see it's a trend I see developing right in front of my eyes. It's going to happen if Hillary Clinton gets in and crushes Donald Trump. Where are the Trump supporters going to go? You think they're going to be happy that Hillary Clinton's president? It's going to be trouble. It's going to be trouble all over. And when Hillary Clinton doesn't make things better for anybody, it's going to be real trouble. Or if Donald Trump gets in there and he doesn't make America great the way he says he's going to make it so great, you know, it's going to be the greatest, you know, that there's going to be trouble, you know, because people are on the balls of their ass, you know, just, you know, they're on the balls of their ass. They want a $15 an hour minimum wage and they're not going to get it. You know, not in places that don't already have it, like Seattle, New York, and some other places. You know, they sure don't have it in Alabama. They don't have it in Illinois. You know, they don't have it in North Carolina. They don't have it most places. You know, and the mainstream media will have you think that, oh yeah, everybody's on board with a $15 minimum wage. You're right. Sure they are. You know, they don't want to give up a nickel. They want to take your money. They don't want to give you money. They want to take it. All right? You know, they said that the average billionaire pays like 16.3% in taxes, and the average person who makes like $25,000 or less pays 24% in taxes. Now, what's that all about? You know, and I'm throwing these numbers out, but I can back them up. You know, what's that all about? 713-955-0492. I'll repeat that slowly. 713-955-0492. Now I realize that, you know, I haven't been on the air in a long time, and I just started promoting the show yesterday. So I'm not expecting everybody just to run over here and jump online and have my switchboard flooded with callers. You know, this is going to take a while. It's going to take a while to get some momentum. I mean, for a while when I called the show Liberal Pro, I had lots of momentum. And then all of a sudden, I had open heart surgery and wasn't on for a while. And all of a sudden, I've never been able to get the numbers back up the way they used to be. But I'm trying. You know, I'm trying. And the reason I'm trying is because, you know, I have grandkids. I got kids. You know, and I got nephews and nieces. And the way I look at it is I got nothing better to do. And I've been studying this stuff for a while now. I've been writing about it since early 2000. And, you know, it's almost two decades of writing about this crap. And studying a lot. And I used to be like a lot of people. You know, I'd watch the news and I would have my heroes and everything else. And after a while, when you see these people do the same old thing over and over and over again, after a while, you get a little jaded, you know, and you go either one or two ways. Either you start thinking that they're all crooked and you start rooting for the crookedest or the smartest or whatever, but you lose your sense of idealism. You know, that's what happens. After a while, you lose your sense of idealism. You have no more heroes anymore because you know that all these professional politicians, the reason that they're professional politicians is because they can't succeed at anything else except bullshitting people. And two, that there's good money in it. You know, I mean, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton come out of the White House so-called flat broke, right? And meanwhile, they made $200 million last year. I mean, how did they make $200 million? Yeah, they're great, just real smart people, man. No, they were selling influence. You know, they were taking tax money and giving it to corporations that do defense contracting and disaster relief, as long as they got lots of big donations to the Clinton Foundation. That's how all that shit works. They're all walking around. She's running around with Robert Kagan, who used to be one of the heads of the Project for a New American Century. One of her best friends is Henry Kissinger. You know, I mean, Dick Cheney says he admires Hillary Clinton. I mean, this is the type of person that these Democrats are going to shove down your throat. And I was a Democrat for most of my life until about 10 years ago. And the last Democrat I voted for was Barack Obama in 2008 because I thought he was different. And he pulled the wool over my eyes, too. And that really went a long way into really corrupting my idealism. You know, and now Bernie Sanders seems to be doing the same thing. If he endorses Hillary Clinton, he's no better than she is. Elizabeth Warren showed what she's made out of. I mean, Hillary Clinton probably offered her the vice presidency. You know, so now she's all in. You know, this great, progressive, wonderful Pocahontas here is running around holding hands with Hillary Clinton. I mean, you know, they're all a bunch of, they're all full of shit. You know, who's not full of shit? Jill Stein, she's not full of shit. You know, even Gary Johnson is full of shit. You know, Jesse Ventura isn't full of shit. You know, but Hillary Clinton's full of shit. And Donald Trump's full of shit. You know, I'm sorry, that's just the way it goes. You know, let's call a spade a spade. You know, this is why I'm on internet radio and I'm not on some big network. Because they wouldn't have me. They wouldn't have me. They wouldn't have Dylan Radigan. They wouldn't have Ed Schultz. They wouldn't have Cenk Uygur. They wouldn't have any. Abby Martin, he couldn't even make it on RT. You know, I mean, because some of us still call it the way we see it. And I got no reason to be afraid of these assholes. I really don't have any reason to be afraid of them. And it's not that I got a bone to pick. I'm not poor. You know, I'm not poor. I don't want them to cut my Social Security. I don't want them to cut my military retirement. And I don't want them to cut it and then put it in the pocket of some goddamn defense contractor. Yeah. But I got no dog in this fight. And I just happen to care. I just happen to give a shit about people. And, we should all care. Because, if Hillary Clinton gets in and you look out the door one day and you see a blinding flash of light and a big mushroom cloud, she's achieved what the fuck she wanted to achieve in the first place. To show she's the biggest, baddest hombre in the room. Because she's got something to prove. I don't know what it is. I heard her father was really mean to her when she was young. I don't know what the deal is with this woman. But she's really got an axe to grind with the rest of the world. I can imagine what it would be like for Chelsea Clinton to grow up with Bill and Hillary. That must have been one of the worst experiences on the face of the earth. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not getting any phone calls, and it's not that I'm running out of things to say. I'm never out of things to say. It's just that I don't want to bore you to death. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll give you a number one more time. 713-955-0492. It's 713-955-0492. And I'm going to let you listen to this theme song that I got here. I'm going to put some more music on here. And but I'm going to let you listen to this. I'm going to stay in the studio for a minute if anyone wants to call in. But, if you got nothing better to do, listen to this song. This is by a group called Molotov. Yeah, it's called In the Red. It's a little bit grungy. It's a little bit rap. But it's got a good beat, and they say a lot of good things. So you can go ahead and listen to this, and I'll still stay in if you want to call in. Number 713-955-0492.
There ain't no power like the power of the people. where the noise in your head, where the voice when the boss ain't no fucking more. This is the sound of it all.
Okay, that was Molotov with In the Red. So that's it for me tonight. This is my first show. So, like I said, I don't even know if this thing's streaming right. I don't know. I'm going to have to check it out. But it's been a pleasure to be here. If in fact you do podcast this episode, send it around. Send it around, especially the people who supported Bernie Sanders, people who support Jill Stein, any progressives you know of. Send it around, see if we can get something going here, you know? So that's it for me tonight, and I'm going to leave you now, and I'm going to sign off a couple minutes early. So I'll probably be on, Thursday night. And we'll see what we can get kicking then, you know? So this is Tim Gatto, uncensored, uncut, unedited and uncut. So that's it for me. Bye-bye.